We're reading from 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 1 to 4 this morning. That's page 373 in your Bible. Only reading, as I say, a few verses, but the few verses cover basically what I believe the Lord wants me to share with you today. 2 Kings 5 and verses 1 to 4. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to meet his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. Amen. I'm not reading on because I don't really want to talk about Naaman, so I don't. Naaman was a mighty man. Many of you will know the story of Naaman. He was a mighty warrior. He was a leader. He was a high-ranking leader in the Syrian army. He was submissive to his king and his leaders. He was an honorable man, and he was extremely popular with the people of his time. But he had a problem, and his problem was that he wasn't well. He had leprosy. Now, as I say, I don't want to concentrate on Naaman this morning. I don't actually want to talk about Naaman at all. I want to look at the servant girl. This little girl who has no name. She is not named anywhere in the Bible. She is like so many unnamed people in the Bible. I don't know if you've ever done a study of unnamed people in the Bible, but there are stacks of people who were extremely important, people who were valuable, and were never told their name. And sometimes, as individuals, we feel that we are not important. Some of you sitting here this morning will say that you are not important. The people on the worship team are important. The people doing the sound or the media are important. The people doing the kids club are important. The people preaching are important. They're the important people. They're the people that make church happen. But that's not actually the case. People who feel unimportant are every bit as important as everybody else. I remember many years ago, I'm going back 50 years maybe here. There was many of you know Mrs. Smith from Millbrook? One person in here will know, I know that. But nobody else knows Mrs. Smith from Millbrook, isn't that right? Why? She was one of the most important people in my life. A wee woman who lived in a wee village, Millbrook, outside Larn, with, 50 houses in it at the time. Nobody really knew her outside of Millbrook. But Mrs. Smith was so important to me. She was important to other young men and girls who were involved in ministry. She would bring you in. She would get you a meeting here and there so you could be taught how to preach. She would bring you in after the meeting. She would set you down with a cup of tea and an apple and Mars bar sandwich, which many of you will remember. Yes, they're nice. Believe you me, they're nice. I've seen your face there, but they're nice. She was a wonderful woman. And then she would say, "Willis, you said something tonight you maybe shouldn't have said." That's me all over the sod, you'll know that. "You said something tonight you maybe shouldn't have said." And she would tell me what it was. And I hopefully learned from Mrs. Smith from Millbrook. Many of you ever heard of Sam Graham from the Green Hill, Glenquarry? I would know one or two would know Sam. Sam Graham was an elder in Glenhorrie Presbyterian Church. Sam Graham, most of you don't know him, never heard tell of him, but he was so important in the lives of young preachers. And Sam didn't often critique your preaching, but he would critique your character. And maybe we would be preaching up on Glenhorrie or Castle Gore Mission Hall, and Sam was a member of it, and he would bring you home, and you'd get, him and Martha would set you down a wee cup of tea, and Sam would say, that was a good meeting, good, that was good. But I seen this week that you were doing such and such a thing. Let me tell you why you shouldn't be doing that. And Sam, I was scared of Sam. I was petrified of him at times, especially when he put the glasses in the end of the nose and you knew something was coming that you didn't want to hear, but he was going to tell you. Sam Graham formed and molded the lives of young men in the 1980s, young men who would go on to be ministers and preachers and evangelists. You never heard tell him, but there's literally hundreds of young men who know him. He was important. He was important to the people he worked with, but more importantly, he was important to God because that's the ministry that God had for him. And as I say, there's many people in the Bible who we don't consider important. Today we live in a celebrity culture. You know, some of the most, I actually read this during the week, some of the most popular TV programs are celebrity game shows because people like celebrity. Even in Christian circles, there are people who are considered celebrities. Indeed, they're important people, yet often the people behind their ministries are forgotten, the people who make it happen. And that's exactly what this little unnamed girl did in the life of Naaman. She made it happen. We can only speculate as to her background. We don't know about anything about her, so we speculate. She must have been raised in a home where she had been taught to believe in God. She must have been raised in a home where the Word of God would have been taught to her. She would have listened to her parents pray. She would have heard her parents read the Word of God, the Torah. She would have listened to the stories of Moses and the Exodus. She would have listened to what David had done and what faith David had in God. She would listen to great stories of people who were godly people. And it was her parents who sowed those seeds into her life, more likely than not. Her parents and the people from the synagogue or whatever she attended. She, or the temple where she attended. She would have been taught the things of God as a little child. And so often we sometimes take for granted ministries to little children. I remember many years ago when I was pastor in the church, my wife used to look after the children. Not our children, the children in the church. She was in charge of the Sunday school. And I remember her saying to me, probably the one time she was ever cross with me, she said, I was doing something. She was busy preparing her message for the children. And I remember I had said something about the children, and she didn't like you saying anything about the children negative. Like, it was the kids were every bit as important as everybody else. If they made a mess, they made a mess. Anybody complained about the mess, you watch yourself. They wanted to make a mess, they made a mess. And I learned some from her. She would have spent as much time preparing her Sunday school lesson for 40 youngsters, 30, 40 youngsters, as I would have spent preparing my sermon for the Sunday morning. Because the children were important. And we have this approach sometimes that they're just weans. But they're not just weans. They're children that God has given to us and our families and in our church to bring up and teach the things of God. And that's where this young girl would have learned how to believe in God and how to walk with God. Naaman had a problem. He had leprosy, a disease, a deadly disease in some ways. He would initially come out in spots, then he would eventually turn septic. His blood circulation would become a problem. Pieces of his skin would start to fall off, maybe even wee bits of his fingers or toes. But the worst thing nearly that he had, he would have a horrendous body odor. And people didn't go near lepers for many reasons, but one of the reasons was this horrendous body odor. And he was well aware that there was no cure for leprosy at that time. His money, his fame, his position in life, none of these things would be a cure. But God had a plan. And his household was a little slave girl, an insignificant person. And there's a few things we notice about her. And one of the first things we notice about her is her concern. She was concerned about her master. Naaman had treated her well because we're told that she loved her master, but more importantly, she loved God. And she was able to bring God into her home situation to where she was at that time, even though she was a slave, even though she didn't want to be there possibly, she was able to bring God into that situation. That girl would have had every right to think that Naaman deserved all he would get. She didn't go seeking to be a slave. She didn't ask to be a servant in that house. In fact, she was taken from her home and her family as a result of one of the battles that Samaria had with Israel. She was in slavery. He deserves all he gets. He's sick, so he's sick. But her eyes were fixed on a higher power. Her faith, her trust, and her hope were in the God of Israel. Folks, we have this God who sows into our hearts a concern for other people. It's there as Christians. If you're saved in here this morning, it's there. But sometimes we don't allow it to work itself out. Sometimes we don't allow it to manifest in ways that we should. This little girl allowed the Holy Spirit, allowed God to take what she had and use it. Somebody wrote this about her, and I thought this was amazing. If this girl had not been brought up in the knowledge of the true God, she would never have been the instrument of so great a miracle. If this girl had not been brought up in the knowledge of a true God, she would never have been the instrument of so great a miracle. I'm sure she questioned the wisdom of what God was asking her to do, considering her circumstances and considering who Naaman was, but even considering her position as a slave, she would never have argued against what God was saying. The second thing that this girl had was confidence. She still trusted God, she still believed, and she still was obedient. Even though she was in a dire situation, she still trusted God. God had a plan for this girl's life. Her circumstances were part of that plan. She was there in his perfect time to accomplish his perfect work. Now think about that. Her position wasn't good, but it was God's perfect time. It was God's perfect time because God had a work for her to do. She would never have been able to see this happen if she hadn't have been in the place she was. And sometimes we need to be, as Paul says, content in the place that we are. because that's where God wants us to be. He has a work for us to accomplish. She trusted God. She had confidence in God. We're told in verse 3, God would cure him from his leprosy. This is a slave girl going to this really important man's wife and saying, God will cure him of his leprosy. She had faith. You know, there's nothing impossible for God. Sometimes our perception of God is really small. We view him as small. We even see him as not being interested in the little things of our lives. Our God is not small. Our God is not weak. Our God is an almighty God, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Are we like this girl this morning? Do we believe that God is a God of the impossible? Do I believe that he can take the impossible situation and change it? We have all situations in our lives. Every one of us has something in our lives that we are praying about, that we're seeking God for. We pray about it. Sometimes we even feel that God's not listening. God, you can, one touch from you can change this whole thing. And we pray about it, and we pray about it, and we pray about it. We need to keep on praying about it. We need to keep on trusting God. We need to keep on believing God for that miracle. Because the God that created this world, the God who we worship, the God who fed and clothed the people of Israel in the wilderness, the God that brought the water out of the rock, that's the God that we serve this morning. That's our Savior. He is the God of the impossible, and this little girl, she knew it. So we see that she had concern, we see that she had confidence, and we see something else. She had a credible testimony. She had credibility. She knew this morning who she believed, or that day who she believed in. Her testimony, the testimony of her faith, added evidence to her witness. Think about that. The testimony of her faith added evidence to her witness. People didn't just listen or see her talking about her God. She acted on what she said. They knew that she believed in her God. Whatever sort of witness she had in that slave home, she was held in high regard because people, she would never be able to do what she was going to do unless she had a good testimony. So her testimony had been lived out in that home already. God had prepared her and had prepared the people around her for this great event, for this moment, this one major significant moment in her life, the one time we only ever hear about her, the one time. But my, how significant was it? God had prepared the people of the house. He had prepared her, and now was the time. Everything was in line. Everybody was ready. And they listened to her when she spoke. She must have been passionate about her God. She must have been on fire for her God. She must have been talking about her God and how her God had done all these amazing miracles. Even though I'm captive in this land, even though I maybe don't want to be here, my God is still with me. He has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Some of the songs that they were singing this morning, amazing songs that fit right into that very fact that God is with us all the time. God is here. God, we can depend on him. We can trust him. We can rely on him. And they knew that. She already had them in the palm of her hand. God had already brought her to that place where she would be listened to. She spoke with conviction. My, she spoke with conviction. Whenever she told her master's wife that he should go, he went. Imagine that. Imagine that. This man had authority, and he wasn't going to listen to his slaves. But she had won the right, in some way, she had won the right to come face to face with this man. And she said with confidence that he would be healed. I wonder what was running through her head whenever she made this promise that you'll be healed. I'm sure there was doubts there. I'm sure in some form or other, I'd come back, the devil would be back at her. But no, she had confidence that this would happen. She was the light in the middle of that dark place. And you know, this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, if I know Jesus Christ, we need to be a light in the middle of a dark world. This girl presents a challenge to us this morning. She's never named in the Bible. We have no record of who she was. Her name was never up in lights. Nobody on the planet except her parents and those working in the house knew who she was. But she was significant the way Mrs. Smith from Millgrip was significant, the way Sam Graham was significant, both in glory today. But they were significant. They were never famous. She was never famous. They were never popular. They're never known. Their names will never be remembered by most people in the world. But she was known by God. She was known by God. So maybe this morning you feel that you are insignificant. Maybe you feel that you don't really matter in the large scale of things. That things happen whether you're there or not. You might even feel that you have nothing to offer the kingdom of God or the people around you. Never forget that God knows who you are. We need to learn to surrender to God, whether that's for salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But as Christians this morning, we need to learn to surrender ourselves totally to Him. God's compassion for us goes way beyond anything we can ever imagine. He loves you and me so much this morning that we can so easily take it for granted. We can so easily miss it, what it cost Him to love us. So if you were important enough for Jesus to die for on a cross, you're important enough to be used of God in whatever sphere God wants to use you. You're not an unimportant person this morning. You're important to God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will make us like this unnamed girl. Lord, I thank you this morning that you knew her name just in the same way as you knew our names, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we recognize you this morning as a powerful God, a miracle-working God. And I pray, Lord, that you will make us like this wee girl. Lord, you will give us a heart of concern, a concern for those, Lord, who don't know Jesus Christ. Give us a heart, Lord, for the unsaved, that sick neighbor, people, Lord, that we know. Maybe some, Lord, even sitting beside us in church this morning. Give us a concern for them, for their soul. Lord, I pray that you'll give us a confidence to step out in faith for ourselves and for others, Lord. Believe in you to be the God of the impossible. Lord, help us to believe for the things that are impossible. Impossible in our eyes, but not impossible in yours. Lord, for each of us who know you, make our walk with you credible. Lord, let others see that you truly live in our lives so that we can speak about you, Lord. And as we speak about you, we'll have earned the right, Lord, that people will listen. Lord, we love you so much this morning. Love you so much. Thank you, Lord, that you are interested in the one. And thank you, Lord, that you know our names. In Jesus' name, amen.